The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, September the 4th. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I'm back in the saddle after a special week up in Alaska where the air is cool and the autumn leaves are starting to peak. Yes, Alaska, where the autumn arrives first in North America. My thanks to our great guest hosts, Ray Allen, Dan Shear, Dylan Smith, Tim Steller, and of course Shelley Fishman, all hosting our program while I was away doing a great job. Let's go to Washington, D.C., one of our fine contributors, Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. So much to talk with Terry about. Terry's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall, going on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Just great.
Lots of breaking news. Let's begin with Senator Kyle. Former U.S. Senator John Kyle served three terms in the Senate. He will be John McCain's successor in the U.S. Senate and will go at least until, I guess, 2020. What are some of your thoughts, Terry, on the pick?
Well, I thought it was a very smart pick. John Kyle has a lot of stature in the United States Senate. It is a Republican Senate, and Senator McCain was a Republican, so it's appropriate that a Republican replace him. Also, John McCain had a great deal of faith in John Kyle, particularly when it came to matters of the state's water problems. And in the next 2 years, I think we're going to have some national legislation dealing with the water crisis at Lake Mead. And I think having John Kyle there will be an enormous asset for the state of Arizona.
You've known Senator Kyle many years, as you probably as long as you knew Senator McCain, correct?
Well, not quite as long, but I've known John Kyle a long time, and I knew his dad. I worked with his dad when his dad was Assistant Secretary of Interior.
Hmm.
Years ago, and I was involved in running environmental legislation for Mo Udall.
And, of course, Senator McCain, I think, Terry, you go back to when he was first elected as a freshman congressman, correct?
Yeah, I met him when he was a freshman congressman in his first few weeks there. Mo Udall introduced us and told me that he thought John was destined to be a real star for the state and said I should help him understand how the House worked. And I remember soon after that, Nancy and I took John to dinner, and the entire dinner conversation was about the rules of the House.
And he was really learning. He's a guy that had this endless curiosity, didn't he, Terry?
Yeah, I was so impressed through the years how he always sought to improve his knowledge in areas where he felt weak. Even as he grew to become really one of the most influential men in the world, he was a perpetual student. And I think this thirst for knowledge was really part of his greatness.
Terry, tell me about, I noticed you had a recent op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star. It was titled "The Danger of Presidential Power." What motivated you to write that?
Well, it was the third in a series of four articles I'm writing for the Star, reflecting on the lessons and insights I've gained from 50 years of service in Washington. The first was about the rhythms of political change, the second about the need for campaign finance reform, and this was a reflection on how the executive branch has become so dominant in our political system, and, you know, the dangers attendant to that.
Tell us how you think that came to be. You've worked both on Capitol Hill and in the executive branch.
Well, Bill, I remember after 10 years working in the Congress, I thought I pretty much knew all about government. Yet, when I was appointed to the sub-cabinet by President Carter, I was surprised, really shocked, by the demands of the job and also the perks that came with it. In the first month, I was expected to master the essentials of six federal agencies I was helping to oversee, including the Federal Aviation Administration and the Coast Guard. And soon, you know, before I was really ready, I would be asked to oversee the cleanup of a major air crash and make decisions in the middle of the night about whether the Coast Guard could board a foreign vessel. So the work was just so intense, and it was 24/7. To help, however, I had nice perks. I had drivers, I had a staff of 50, and immediate access to aircraft, which I rarely used. But it made my job on the Hill look like a holiday. And it made me understand why officers of the executive branch sometimes resent congressional criticism. They work so darn hard.
Well, you think this feeling contributed to the breakdown in communications that we're seeing now between the two branches?
Oh, I do. It first became evident to me during the Vietnam War when exhausted Pentagon leaders began to resent the criticism, not of the war so much, but of their tactics from Congress. So they started really withholding information and maybe making up facts. I think this has become a trend over time, leaving the executive in control of what they believe is crucial information. Another factor probably is the sheer size, the rise of the sheer size of the federal government, Bill. You know, when you look at the branches, it's 535 members of Congress and nine Supreme Court justices, even with their staff and clerks, versus an army of 2 million civil servants involved in every part of American society. It's no contest.
So do you believe the situation has become worse under President Trump?
Well, I hate to be constantly critical, but I do. Like President Obama, Trump enforces his will through executive orders, but he's taken things one step further. Our current president makes no distinction between himself and the office of the presidency. If you agree with him, you're a friend of America. If you disagree, you're on America's enemies list. You know, soon those enemies could become subject to our, say, justice system, or even, God forbid, our military. In the face of, you know, Bill, what's been a compliant Congress, which does no oversight and thus has no power, anything is possible.
A couple of items before we leave, including the Kavanaugh nomination, which got off to a very rocky start today. What do you think in the end that he will be approved for the Supreme Court?
Well, Bill, a month ago I would have said it was 100% probability, a slam dunk. I still think he's favored to get through a Republican Senate. But the nomination has become extremely unpopular with the public and really is not a sure thing. Brett Kavanaugh's greatest strength is also his biggest weakness, Republican connections. More than any sitting justice, Kavanaugh has been a political operative with a record of heavy partisan overtones. And some 60,000 pages of his work in the Bush White House have been belatedly released. So, you know, we shall see what that brings.
Terry, getting back to Senator Kyle now going back to D.C., I guess he'll be sworn in probably within 12 to 24 hours. The appointment was criticized by Dr. Garcia, who is running, of course, as the Democratic nominee for governor, criticizing Doug Ducey, saying that the governor Ducey should have appointed someone like a Cindy McCain or former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods. Some of your quick thoughts on that, please.
Well, you know, we all have our own preferences on whom should be appointed, but you know, the governor has that responsibility, and as I said, Bill, from the point of view of water, which is our, frankly, our most critical issue, I think the governor probably was thinking, I mean, Senator Kyle is way, way more conservative than I am, and I understand I'm a fan of Mr. Garcia's, and I understand his feelings on this, but really, I think the governor made a smart choice here. With water in front of us as our biggest item, no one knows water better than John Kyle. And so I think I have to say that I thought it was a very smart appointment.
All right, Terry Bracey, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next month as we get very close to the midterm elections. Terry, thank you. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Bill.
Thanks
Bye.
A lot. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Had a quick visit with owner Steve over the weekend. He's very pleased with the Buckmaster Show listeners who have been coming in after hearing this announcement. And if you're hearing it right now and you're near Swan and Sunrise, how about stopping by for lunch and that bread that sandwich will come out just out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of our great sponsors. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday during the noon hour, we'll talk with Dr. Ray Woosley, former U of A College of Medicine dean. He'll have our Your Med segment. Also, Congressional District 3 Republican candidate Nick Pearson joins us on Buckmaster on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I'm going to consult right now with my friend, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, good to see you, my friend.
Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you.
I trust that you and Ann had a great week off.
Oh, we did. And if folks have a chance, check out my Facebook page. Got some fun pictures on there of Bill and Ann with a real live Alaskan Husky working sled team.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Neat dogs. They're friendly animals, the Huskies.
They're really bright and
they can be
very friendly. And they're escape artists. So if you try to keep them penned in, they find ways to get out.
Oh, yeah. They like the outdoors for sure. Paul Krugman in the New York Times today, get sick, go bankrupt, and die. I saw that article and I thought, well, I think we need to talk about health care.
We do. I also would call your attention to an article by Robert Samuelson in the Washington Post on Sunday, basically talking about the same thing. What's happening here, Bill? And you know, Krugman's been on this bandwagon for a long time. Basically, what he's saying is if we don't fix this problem, the solution is going to be, that a lot of people continue to go bankrupt, continue to get into situations where they can't pay for their health care and simply die needlessly as a result of that. But Samuelson, of course, is an economist, and he's center, maybe center-right economist, and has been around a very long time. But what's been puzzling economists and investors and people who are searching for some normalcy in the way the economy operates so that we know how to make investment decisions is that here we have this economy which by all accounts is doing very, very well. We have unemployment down at its lowest since a very long time. And yet we are not seeing inflation past, 2.5%, something like that. So what is stopping the upward pressure on pricing? And there's a lot of people who have various theories, and you would think a simple question like that should have a relatively straightforward answer, but it doesn't. We're not quite sure what's going on. What we do know, however, is that the polling shows that Americans, even though they believe that the economy is doing well, a large number of Americans don't feel that wellness. They, for as long as we can remember now, are wondering, well, what was happening with this recovery? It's a very, very slow recovery. Why aren't I benefiting? But if we really take a look past, 2008, we find that the middle class has been under attack, if you will, for almost 40 years. And as a result, the growth in GDP every year more and more gets assigned to the top 10% of earners. In fact, there have been some years where the 100% or more of GDP growth actually goes to the upper earners, let's call them the upper class, if you will, and the middle class pays for that one way or another. And that income disparity you and I have identified as a short-term problem in this economy. We also take a look at the problems of climate change as being a short-time problem in the economy, something that is really affecting us today, not just in the future. I heard a figure actually driving here today, the Government Accountability Office, or maybe it was the Congressional Budget Office, has now assigned a number to last year's
hurricanes
and outstanding weather events that would normally not not happen. It's $124 billion just to clean them up. Mm. You know, that's money that's essentially wasted. And now we have a third economic change that's fundamental, and it's the cost of health care as a percentage of your everyday, you know, net take-home pay. And what we found, and Samuelson brings this out in his article in the Washington Post yesterday, today's Tuesday, Sunday, mm-hmm. That in 1999, the average worker paid out of his own pocket about $2,000 a year in healthcare costs. The rest was picked up by his employer. Today, that number, adjusted for inflation, is $5,000 a year. So the number went from about 2%, 2.5% of $50,000 earners' cash flow to 10%.
Meanwhile, the income disparity means there's nothing to cover that.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah.
So it's just coming out. Now, fortunately, we have world trade and inflation is very low. And as a result, the things that you buy that kind of keep you in the middle class, the price of those things has either come down or has stayed steady. So people in the middle class tend to continue to perceive that, at least in terms of their day-to-day living, that they are still in the middle class. But what's really going on? Number one is they're using their credit cards to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they're using their houses and their homes to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, they're living in the present and forgetting about the future. So what's happening is they're not saving for their kids' college. They're not saving for professional schools or academic or technical schools for their kids. They're not saving for retirement. And they're hoping that somehow things are going to get better in the future, even though there's no indication of any specific things that will help them there.
What happens when costs start going up?
And that's exactly right, Bill. You just
the consumer
hit the
items.
Nail on
what happens?
Nail on the head with these tariffs and with rising inflation. As consumers begin to believe that they can no longer afford the things that they thought they could afford, because steel is more expensive and iron is more expensive, aluminum is more expensive, televisions are more expensive, cars are more expensive, you name it, then food becomes mm-hmm. more expensive, homes become more expensive. All of these things that we are now putting tariffs on, that we formerly imported under, either multilateral or bilateral trade agreements, then we're going to see the middle class in the short term become even more and more desperate as to how to maintain that status. And while I certainly feel for people who feel that today, it becomes a very serious problem in terms of the near future, because people are not spending money on education. We are educating kids and they're coming out of college or even technical school with huge debt burdens.
Huge.
And all of this is, I think, contributing to a malaise in society. But as an investment advisor, it's also resulting in people's inability, let alone refusal, inability to invest for their own retirement, their unwillingness to trust the things that they invest in, and their inability to really contribute in a meaningful way to what they're really going to need as they face 35 years of retirement, because our life expectancy is going up. So all of these things are now on my short list of fundamental changes to the economy that we absolutely have to address. And if we don't address them, I think that they will get addressed in more radical ways.
And again, those three items, income disparity, climate change, and now healthcare costs.
And now healthcare, right.
So some fundamental changes are going to have to happen.
And we're beginning to see healthcare costs addressed. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, addressed it in a very conservative way, because it kept the insurance companies in place. It provided for subsidies. It certainly wasn't perfect. But it did get about 10 or 12 million people who hadn't no health care insurance insured. It even, in many ways, held down the cost of medical inflation. We're still paying 19% of GDP in health care, where the rest of the industrialized world is paying about 11 or 12%. We're not getting good outcomes out of that additional cost. And so now we're seeing proposals like Medicare for All or universal health care a la the European and other industrialized systems that are very difficult to slide into gradually. And so people are asking questions, well, how do we pay for that? What happens to taxes? And quite frankly, the people who are proposing those systems haven't really been able to articulate a transition to that kind of system.
Yep.
So I think we're going to see healthcare as one of the most talked about items on the political agenda over the next couple of years. And until we fix that problem, we're going to continue to have problems with underinvestment in people's futures, underinvestment in our infrastructure as a country, because without the tax revenues that come from people making money and paying taxes, you can't fix the infrastructure. This steamrolls on itself, and it's troubling.
All right. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
It's 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham will be with us in a few minutes. He's got some things to say about the late Senator McCain and the newly appointed Senator from Arizona, John Kyle.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Neighborhood stalwarts. Virginia and Frank Butley are overjoyed when Tanya and Pablo Del Valle move into the fixer-upper next door. But opposing views about culture, politics, and landscaping push these well-meaning couples into a border battle. Don't miss Native Gardens, a laugh-out-loud, big-hearted comedy with a lot of sharp little teeth. September 8th through the 29th at the Temple of Music and Art. Tickets available at arizonatheater.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
All righty then, Bill Buckmaster with you on KVOI AM 1030. Tucson's voice, of course, our worldwide live listening, KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Our support for the program comes from, among others, and we're so happy to have Green Things as a great sponsor, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, and of course, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all your gardening needs. And now, while you're at Green Things, stop by Zocalo. Zocalo, home to all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. For years, they were over by Country Club and Broadway. They're now over on the 13-acre site at Green Things, so you can do your gardening and get your great items for the home as well. Visit greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now one of the fine contributors. We have two dozen great contributors to this program. Our contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham. General Wickham was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the U.S. Army. He is retired, living in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on our live line. General, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your great program.
Thank you very much. We had a great trip to Alaska. Hopefully you and Ann will be receiving our postcard very soon. I don't know how long it takes. Could take a week, but you'll get it soon.
Yeah, we saw you and your Ann, stroking a little dog there.
Yeah, that was one of the great... I know you and Ann love animals. You love dogs. You would have enjoyed meeting some of those husky Alaskan sled dogs up at Denali National Park. And General Wickham, as you know, these are working dogs. In the winter, they're out there on the sled teams, and it was just so great to meet some of these dogs.
Wonderful, Joe. And we just got a new rescue dog. It's our fourth Malinois dog, so Ann can take a dog over into our medical units and do therapy work with patients.
That's great. So much to talk about today, General Wickham. Let's begin with the breaking news. Former United States Senator John Kyle, I know you know Senator Kyle. He will be John McCain's successor in the U.S. Senate. Senator Kyle served three terms in the Senate. That boils down to almost 20 years. Do you think this was a good pick, General?
I think it's a good pick. He's a great man, and he's going to continue the legacy of John McCain. They knew each other very well. And John Kyle, of course, was a minority whip in the Senate, and therefore he has leadership potential. He's going to serve Arizonans very well, so I think it's a great choice by our governor.
General Wickham, what did you think of this outpouring of attention and love for John McCain? Have you ever witnessed anything like what we saw over the past week?
No, I haven't, and good question. I was very impressed by all of this, the eloquence of the eulogies given to him and the ardor reflected for McCain by virtue of what McCain has done, his leadership, his valor as a prisoner, and his long service. But there's also another aspect of it, I think. There's sort of, in my humble opinion, a growing disgust in American politics, attitude of voters towards what's going on in our country. And so I think some of it was an outpouring of disgust sort of for politics, as well as love for Senator McCain.
What do you think about this? Some would say very strange that the administration is talking about canceling any pay raise for government civilians. What do you think about that?
I think it's crazy. There's doubt in the Congress about whether the pay raise should be 1% or 1.5% or nothing. And the administration to cancel it, I think, is unjust and unfair. I've been through that before when I was a brigadier general. The Congress decided they were going to freeze the pay of all civilians and military in the government, and my pay was frozen for years. Even though I got promoted, I didn't get the pay. So I've been there. I understand it. It's sort of a broken attitude in the Congress and in the administration. So I think it's a big mistake. If there's concern about the budget is being too tight, then maybe we ought to cut spending on things like building a wall and things like that that, in my humble opinion, don't make a lot of sense.
So let me understand this. You served as a 4-star general at a 1-star pay, with 1-star pay for many years.
For several years, you're right, Bill, exactly. And it was really ominous because I was thinking when the term retirement would roll around, am I going to retire at 1-star pay or 4-star? And fortunately, things worked out right.
Let's switch to foreign affairs, General. Had a chance to look at this new movie that's out called Shock and Awe. It's about Iraq and the invasion. And it talks about Afghanistan, that this now is going on. If you go back to, and of course we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11, but really our involvement in Afghanistan, General Wickham, is now to the point where I think it's the longest involvement of any U.S. troops in our history.
You're right, Bill. It's about, I think it's 17 years, and we're not seeing any progress at all. And there's talk in the administration, which I think is crazy talk also, that we need to privatize the war, turn the war over to mercenaries. We don't have any mercenary army. So where are you going to get one like that? Where are you going to hire a lot? Now, we do hire contractors to do logistics work, but never to fight wars. So the idea of turning over a war to mercenaries doesn't make any sense. My view, you've got to have a regional solution. We need to sit down and with China, with Russia, with India, with Pakistan, with Britain, and work towards some solution in the war there that recognizes the Taliban, brings them into the government, and also helps with the funding of it, rather than the U.S. to do most of the funding. So we're not doing any of that. There's very little progress in that direction at all, but that's what we ought to be doing.
Well, we don't even control most of the country right now, do we?
No, you're right. It's Taliban does. You know, the word Taliban grew up during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and Taliban means student. It was the student angry about what Russia was doing to Afghan culture. And so there was an uprising, in part, by students throughout Afghanistan, and they were the Taliban. And now, of course, they've been taken over by political militias. But it's a historic background in Afghanistan.
Well, General Wickham, I was just reflecting here. We've kind of followed in the footsteps of some others that have found some of these foreign interventions to be a folly. You think about the French in Vietnam. We basically followed in their footprints, and you know where that wound up. And then, of course, we followed most recently the Russian involvement, which began, I believe, in 1979 in Afghanistan. And finally, the Russians said, that's enough. We can't afford this.
You're right. Exactly right. I've read some of the books about that. and I've not talked with any Russians about it, but you're exactly right. Yes, we've done foolish things, and you're exactly right about Vietnam. We followed the French, and the French told us we need to support the government of South Vietnam, and we did for a while, and we were doing it right, but we grew impatient and felt that you're not doing it right. We're going to teach you how to fight this war. Step aside, little Asian man. And we went in there with five divisions, and look how it came out. We lost the war. So you're exactly right. We think we know what we're doing, and we don't. We're doing that in the Middle East, and we're doing that in Afghanistan. We need to work it out with the locals regionally, and I don't think we're not doing that. Look at the State Department. That's part of our difficulty. It's not thoroughly manned. And so we don't have the right kind of leaders. We don't have the right ambassadors or enough of them around the world. So this administration is not using its capabilities to provide political leadership, diplomatic leadership around the world.
And then one more point before we take the break. So few of our leaders in Washington have actually worn the uniform and served. I think it's something like less than 1% of our political leaders really have had firsthand experience with the military like you have, General Wickham.
Exactly right, Bill. It's the lowest in our nation's history. And it's not only in this Washington, D.C., it's in every state capital in the legislatures. There are the fewer numbers that have ever served in the military. And therefore, there's an ignorance about what service really means and the sacrifices that are made. And that's one of the reasons this administration, for example, is thinking about, let's privatize the Veterans Administration, turn all these veterans over to private doctors and let them handle the ills of veterans, which is a crazy move if they do that. But it's coming from this ignorance about not having served in the military.
All right, General Wickham, stay with us. We're going to take our break right here and invite our listeners to call 790-2040, again, 790-2040. If you would like to speak with General Wickham, he would be happy to entertain your questions. It's 1246 right now on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors. It's not that far away, folks. Just a 3-hour drive or so from Tucson, and you will wind up in a beautiful place. The greened up Gila National Forest, after all the summer rains, looking real good. Great opportunities to go camping and hiking and just explore historic Silver City. So lots to do. Some great suggestions about recreation opportunities on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find also information about great places to stay over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He's usually with us the first Monday of the month. However, yesterday we were off with the holiday, so he's on the first Tuesday of the month. General Wickham, let's talk a little bit about North Korea and China. I see that the president has decided to delay the trip of the Secretary of State over to that region.
That's not good news, but it's an illustration of how difficult the circumstances are with North Korea. As we've talked on your program before, I don't think the North Koreans are going to give up their nuclear arsenal. And even Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, has said publicly he doesn't think they will either. So if we're going to work with North Korea, we've got to do more than we're doing. Now, the president, unfortunately, is criticizing China, saying you Chinese are not doing enough to pressure North Korea. That's wrong. China is doing a lot. They've constrained trade with North Korea. They are abiding by all of the sanctions that have been imposed on North Korea and have been urging the North Koreans to get involved and to participate. China does not want to have North Korea to be a nuclear power. So they are working. And we need China to solve the problem. So being critical of China is not smart politics, in my humble opinion. But we now, having said all of this, can we work with North Korea? Yes, if we're smart about doing it. In my humble opinion, we're not smart enough right now. I think we can get the North Koreans to agree to some constraints on their nuclear activity, constraints that involve very thorough inspections of their country. They've done that in the past, and constraints on export of nuclear technology. We've done that in the past. So I think we can do what we did with the USSR during the Cold War, and that will work to help solve much of the nuclear problem. Will we get rid of the nuclear arsenal? No, not in the near term. South Korea would like it to be done in the near term, but I just don't see that happening. We're not going about this in a smart way, in my humble opinion.
790-2040, 790-2040 for questions for General John Wickham. And you know, you talked about South Korea. How is the change in administration there impacting all of this?
Well, the administration, Moon is the new president, very capable man, anxious for some kind of better relations with North Korea. Who wouldn't? The families are still connected. So they'd like to unify the country, but I just don't see that happening in our lifetime. It would be a significant nation where they'd be unified. It would be a nation of close to 75, 80 million people, and wealthy as South Korea is now, one of the giants in Asia. And that, incidentally, is something that Americans should be proud of. South Korea is one of our great diplomatic success stories. Yeah, look what we've helped do. We've taken a country that was led by a dictator, Park Chung-hee, who's dead now, of course, and now we've got a democracy there that's very similar to the United States, and it is an economic giant in Asia, and it's got values and institutions like the United States. They're West Point, for example, wears uniforms just like we do in the United States. And they teach English to their cadets. So it's a real success story that we've generated, and we can use that for the future of countries as an illustration of what we could help with North Korea.
Well, it was just a few months ago that was the highly hyped-up summit between this country and North Korea over in Singapore. Has much changed since then?
No, it hasn't. That's exactly right. I think it was sort of done for political purposes to have a... Why did they go to the Singapore in the first place? Because in Singapore, you could have a good deal of hype in the media that you wouldn't have if you went to the demilitarized zone or into South Korea or China. So... In any event, I think we have made enough progress here. But we can make progress if we're smart about it. And right now, I just don't see that we're moving in the right directions to be smart about it. What we've got to try to do is avoid some crisis that leads to some sort of military confrontation with North Korea.
All right. And your friend Matthew has called. Matthew, you're with General Wickham.
Matthew has always got good questions.
Yes, he does. Go ahead,
thank you,
Matthew.
General Wickham and Bill. The as you know, General, we just changed command again for the commander in Afghanistan, and the outgoing commander made a comment recently on his way out, basically saying, "We have to end this," but nobody knows how to end it. The Taliban continue to resurge. We're coming right on 9/11. We know the ramifications of a nation state that has a Taliban in charge, or ISIS or Al Qaeda. But how do we exit a situation, or do we continue on with a smaller footprint? Thank you. Bye.
Excellent points, Matt. I think we've got to continue on diplomatically, and a regional solution. There's going to be fighting. There's going to be militias that aren't going to be happy. But we got to get the Taliban involved in the governance of the country. Does that mean we've got to split parts of the country and give the Taliban a little more authority in parts of the country? Maybe. But that's part of a solution coming from a regional settlement, getting China and Russia, India, Britain and the United States involved in some sort of settlement. We're not moving in that direction at all. We're not using diplomacy adequately in that region of the world as we should. So, but you're right. We've got to move in this direction. We're not going to solve that war by continuing to fight it the way we're doing it.
All right, General Wickham, 17 years now, the anniversary coming up on 9/11 next week. A final thought on that, please.
Well, we've done what we had to do after 9/11, and we got rid of the mastermind involved in the 9/11. But what we're struggling with, as Bill and your listeners know, we're struggling with terrorism around the world. We aren't going to solve that on our own. We're going to be dealing with it, and it may be affecting things in the United States the way it has in Europe. So is 9/11 as a context over? No, because terrorism is still alive, and terrorism is growing out of the debate that continues between the Islam, between the two factors of Islam that grow out of centuries-old conflict.
Yes, sir. All right, General Wick, I'm going to have to let you go. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Wonderful program, Bill. What an honor to be on it.
Well, it's an honor to have you on it. Thank you very much, sir. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to wrap it up. And, of course, it's good to be back in the saddle. Ray Allen, thank you, Ray, for your service while I was away. And thanks today for helping out, as usual. And coming up, we will have Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. More of our local talk from 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, with you with the Wednesday edition. Even though today feels like a Monday, luckily I didn't say Tuesday. Tomorrow will be Wednesday, I think. All right. Have a great afternoon and evening.